single one of those songs, I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is perfect. Now, I want to start with a little story. It's kind of about when things, you know, you try to do something good, and it just doesn't work out. Things go wrong. And when I was younger, maybe 9 or 10, my mom was like, you know, everyone knows Sault Ste. Marie winters, they're cold. So my mom was like, Jared, go start the car, warm it up. I was like, okay, sure. So get everything out, go, you know, put the clutch in, turn the key, starts. And then I think, oh, well, I always see mom move the shifter when she wants to go. So I'll get that ready for her too. And, well, surprisingly, I didn't stall the car. I, you know, put the clutch in, and I see the numbers, and I'm like, well, obviously, I put it in one, because one's the first number. So I put in one, take my foot off the clutch, and I'm like, oh, mom will be so happy with me. And then all of a sudden, the car starts moving. I'm like, whoa. Why is this happening? Oh, what do I do? Which one's the brake? Oh, I don't know. Which is it, the left one or the right one? Oh, I don't want to hit the gas, because at the end of our driveway, there was an old rickety shed. And in my mind, even though the car is just inching along, I'm thinking it's going to totally demolish the shed if it goes any further. So finally, I think, okay, well, I put the clutch in and put in first. Maybe I'll just put the clutch in and put it back in neutral. And, you know, it worked. But for those split seconds, I was trying to do something good. I was trying to prepare the car for my mom to drive. And I was thinking, oh gosh, what have I done? And we can kind of see, we're going to look at Moses in Exodus 5, and he's doing the Lord's will. And things go kind of badly. You know, in your bulletins you see when a day goes from bad to worse. And Moses is just following God's will, but things go from bad to worse. And this is just after God in chapters 3 and 4 has told him exactly what to say to the leaders of Israel in order to make them believe that it's from God. And then Exodus 5, we see him in the presence of Pharaoh. So starting in verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." But the king of Egypt says, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people: "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out. Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." Then the slave drivers and the foremen went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says: I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all." So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, "Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw." The Israelite foremen appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers were beaten and were asked, "Why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?" Then the Israelite foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh. "Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, 'Make bricks.' Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." The Israelite foremen realized they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required for you for each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, "May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. So the first thing that I want to point out is Pharaoh's first response. He asks a question, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? And I want to answer that right off the bat, because that answers everything. That answer is everything to us. God is so many things. He's the creator. He's our father. This morning we saw, as Len opened, that he's both the lion and the lamb. He is worthy. But most importantly, he's our savior and he's our redeemer. God saw that he had made a people who were sinful, who are sinful. And he knew we couldn't save ourselves. But he loves us so much that he sent his son, his one and only son, his perfect son, to be that sacrifice for us. So that if we believe in that sacrifice, if we accept that Jesus was perfect, came and died, and rose again, we too can live with God in eternity. Isn't that glorious? Being able to live with God in eternity despite our sin, that is who God is. God is love. God is so many things, but God is love so much that we can be with him. And in John 15, the consequences of being loved by God and knowing God is stated by Jesus. If I turn there. John 15, starting in verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. And that's exactly what happens in Exodus 5. Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? He doesn't know him. And after Moses relays God's demand to Pharaoh, Pharaoh rejects him. Pharaoh says, no, I don't know the Lord, and sends him away, basically. I don't want to do this. I don't like it. And because he doesn't know the Lord, he rejects Moses. He rejects God and God's demands. And it's really sad that that's like us today. We go out and we try to do the Lord's will, but the world rejects us. In so many different ways, you'll have the Lord's will, and it tells us to do so many different things, including, probably most importantly, the Great Commission of evangelizing. But we aren't of the world, and therefore the world rejects us. And that's difficult. We are made to be loved. We are made to have fellowship. We are made to know and what goodness there is, and to share that goodness with others. But the world doesn't want it, and the world rejects us for it. And that's hard. You know, I'm sure most of you can think of a time when, if you're a guy, that you were liking a girl and you're kind of scared. Oh, well, if I ask her out, is she going to reject me? Is it going to go badly? Well, a lot of times that same fear can keep us from doing the Lord's will. You know, should I tell Jimmy about God? You know, he's my good friend. I don't want to I don't want him to reject me. I don't want him to think I'm not really cool or not hang out with me anymore. And that fear can paralyze us. It can keep us from doing the Lord's will. But once again, who is the Lord that I should obey him? He's the God of comfort. 2 Corinthians verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Isn't that amazing? Who is God? God is the God of comfort. When we are rejected, when we don't feel loved, even Moses was rejected by his fellow brothers and sisters. At the end, the Israelites say, you have made us a stench to Pharaoh. Sometimes doing the Lord's will, even your brothers and sisters in Christ won't like what you're doing. In those times, we are called to persevere. God is the God of comfort, and if we take solace in that fact, nothing will be able to stop us from doing God's will. Nothing, no fear of rejection will ever be able to overcome that. The next thing we see is Moses repeating his request. And what does Pharaoh do? Verse 6, that same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. What does Pharaoh do? First, he rejects them, rejects their requests. Then, he opposed them. They're like, okay, the Lord's warned me that the first time I go to Pharaoh, he's going to say no. God's going to harden his heart. So I'll say it again. What does Pharaoh do? Okay, well, if simply saying no wasn't good enough for you, now I'm going to add to the burdens of the people. Now I'm going to add to your workload. You guys are lazy. And a lot of times, that applies to us, too. We try to do the Lord's work, and what happens? People oppose us. People are like, no, you're too busy for that. You can't do that. You can't give that much. You don't have that much money. You can't. I don't want you to. Maybe this is coming from your parents, your close friends, that maybe it's your coworkers or your boss, but they will oppose you when you do God's work. They will oppose you, and they will not want you to complete that work. Just like Pharaoh did, he added work so much so that it was impossible for the Israelites to complete it. The task was insurmountable. And he was like, if you want to leave, I'm going to show you that you can't. Pharaoh isn't used to being told what to do. I mean, most of us don't like being told what to do, but imagine if you've never been told what to do. You are the king. Everything is done for you. And now, this Israelite, who's a slave, comes to you and says, let my people go. You're demanding this of me? What? No. And Pharaoh opposed them to the bitter end. But who is the Lord? Well, the Lord is our strength. The Lord provides so much. 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Pharaoh tries to oppose them, but because God overcomes the world, you know, the world tries to oppose us, but because God overcomes the world, they can't. No one can oppose God. If we are doing God's will, it will be hard. People will try to prevent us from doing it. But there's no way they can. God overcomes the world. And if we believe that, he will give us strength. God is the God of strength. Last thing Pharaoh does, verse 9, make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. He decides, if they work hard enough, if I put enough load on them, they'll think that Moses is lying to them. They'll think that God lied to Moses, or they won't believe that God spoke to Moses in the first place. Deception is everywhere in this world, whether it's the obvious things, maybe just the world changing one little sentence in a paragraph or one little word. Nathan was saying how important just a little phrase is. And it's true. If you said you are saved by faith and works, then you'll get to heaven. It's like, oh, two little words. Big difference. Big difference. But God, he's wrote an entire book on wisdom. The entirety of Proverbs, every second verse. Ask for God's wisdom, and it will be given to you. The world can't deceive us if we know this word. If we know what it says, we can overcome all lies. We'll never be deceived. Proverbs 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. If we know the Lord, if we seek after him and seek the truth, the world's going to lie to us. If they can't make us fear being rejected, if they can't oppose us with enough strength to stop us from doing God's will, then they'll try to deceive us into thinking God's will is something it isn't. So that way we just toil in vain. But God gives wisdom. God is the most wonderful, merciful Savior. And he gives us everything we need. Not just salvation, but he gives us the Holy Spirit afterwards to guide us in truth, to give us the strength to endure that opposition, gives us the knowledge of his love so that fear of rejection won't overcome us. When Pharaoh tried to deceive the Israelites went, and they went back to Pharaoh, appealed to Pharaoh, and then they cursed Moses. Well, I'd like to think that when we're faced with opposition, we do what Moses did. Moses went to the Lord first. Moses cried out to God, and God answered. God said, I'm going to show Pharaoh my power. And same thing, when we are faced with opposition, when we are faced with trials, when we are lied to, we can know, go to God, and he will provide for us. God's word is with us, and it is beautiful. When you know God's word, when you have a relationship with God, oh, it is beautiful. On the other side of the coin, when you don't. Now, I'm going to share another little story, this one a bit more somber, but I went to London. I went to Western for university for software engineering. And first year, I had been warned, or just before first year, I had been warned, you know, a lot of Christians fall away in university. There's so many temptations, so much rejection. be wary, be on your guard. So first year, I got there, found a church right away. Got involved with a group called Campus for Christ. Got a Bible study, or entered into a Bible study with maybe four other young men, good Christian men, for encouragement. I was reading. I even found a mentor who was a year older than me. The Campus for Christ really encouraged mentorship, and I would encourage that for you too. And it was good. First, second, and third year all went well. People noticed that I was doing God's will. I was different. I wasn't a part of the world. And then fourth year hit, and my mentor graduated, so I didn't have a mentor. He was a year older than me. I was like, it's okay. I'm still reading my Bible, still going to Bible study, still going to church, still praying. I'm still close with God. And then, you know, maybe October, early November, the first wave of exams hit. I get a little too busy for Bible study. I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's okay. I'm still reading and I'm still going to church. I'm still praying. And then I think one time I stayed out too late on a Saturday. And I slept through church. I was like, well, I go most days, but it became a habit. And slowly, you know, as everyone around me was telling me, oh, Jared, you don't drink. It's okay. You don't swear. You're still doing well. But this is the world telling me this. Fourth year, I was a disaster. You know, I didn't start drinking or swearing or anything, but at the same time, I didn't know God. It was sad. I was a cut flower waiting to die. As soon as persecution came, my roots weren't in the Lord, and I'm very thankful that the Lord didn't persecute me then, because I would have fallen away. But I came back to the Sioux after, and I was like, okay, well, it wasn't so bad. You know, maybe I should start going to Bethel again. And I was like, oh, but I don't want everyone to know about that fourth year. I wasn't living for God, really. I was kind of doing things out of force of habit. But I was like, oh, no, I do want to know Jesus. I do want to have that relationship with him again. And then I was like, oh, but that fear of rejection. And eventually, I was like, I haven't been here for 4 years. I've been out of town. No one will even know that I'm gone. What a lie. What a lie. But I came back, despite that fear of rejection. And what happened? God's love poured into me. That prodigal son that came back, the father didn't say, what have you done with everything? No. He went, ran out, and hugged him. That's what happened. And I encourage you, if you're finding yourself in that place where you aren't seeking God's word, you aren't praying, you aren't going to church, you're just not close with God, find him. Seek him. Who is God? God is our Savior, our Comforter. God is our strength. God gives us wisdom and knowledge. It is so worth it. It is so worth it. Don't be scared if you have stumbled. Come back to God. Don't be scared of rejection. That's not who God is. God is the God of mercy, and God will show you his love. All he wants is for you to have this close relationship with him. God is good. Amen. And one thing Nathan said, because he lives, and enthusiastically, alone, I shouted out, I can face tomorrow. Well, your turn. Because God lives,
I can face tomorrow.
Amen. Lord, thank you for being a God who lives, who didn't just die on that cross, but who lives and who gives us strength to face tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, that you give us strength to persevere in everything. Thank you, God, that you have made yourself known to us and you have loved us so much that you have sacrificed your Son for us. Lord, you are everything to us, and I pray that we would go out, persevere through trials, overcome temptation, and live for you and you alone, Lord. Because as Paul says, it is worth it. In Jesus' name, amen.